Gnade sei mit euch und Friede von Gott, unserem Vater, und von dem Herrn Jesus Christus. I'm sorry, I haven't preached in English for over a year. What I said was, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For those of you who don't know, I just spent the last year in Dresden, Germany. I was the vicar at the Dreieinigkeitsgemeinde. That's Trinity Lutheran Church. And it's a congregation of our sister synod in Germany. And so I guess I'm the right guy to preach on Reformation Day. I just came from the land of Luther. In fact, it was about an hour and a half drive from my front door to Luther's front door. And we all know the story of Luther quite well. At least on Reformation Day, we're always reminded about Luther's courage, how he stood up to popes and princes. We're reminded of Luther's faith, that we are saved by grace through faith alone, not by works, but by the free gift of Jesus Christ. I'll say it was inspiring for me to live in Germany and to walk in the footsteps of the Reformer and see the lands of Luther. But a lot has happened in Germany since Luther lived there. In fact, in the 20th century, Germany has been through some of the worst oppression that mankind has ever seen. My congregation was in East Germany, and they can tell you all about what they went through. I spent a lot of time in the houses of the people in my congregation. They told me about the time of the Nazis and how Adolf Hitler's Third Reich committed all kinds of atrocities in their land. They can also tell me about the night of February 13th, 1945. On that night, Dresden was firebombed by U.S. and British forces and burned to the ground. And that our congregation lost two beautiful church buildings as the flames descended on Dresden that night. But the worst was still to come. Just a few months later, the Soviets occupied the city. And then they set up a government that was hostile to Christianity. And the people of my congregation suffered greatly. They suffered persecution, discrimination, and ridicule under the communists. For example, I can think of the story of Frau Müller, who told me how our church was not allowed to have a building permit because the communists would not allow any churches to build new buildings. And so for 50 years, the people met in her home. Or the story of Herr Storm, who was not allowed to go to college because he refused to join an anti-Christian youth organization. Or about how the communist secret police kept a close tab on all the pastors just to make sure there were no troublemakers among them. I can hardly imagine what it would have been like to live in Germany through all these hard times. And it's easy to lose heart when we hear these stories about how Christianity is under attack, even in the land of Luther. But it's also under attack here among us. Now, we have not faced much blatant persecution. We can thank God that we have not had to suffer like the East Germans did. But there are still many subtle ways that Christianity is under attack. Maybe it's the youth sports league that meets on Sunday mornings. I mean, sure, the organizers aren't necessarily evil, but they are keeping people away from church. Or maybe it's the atheist college professor who mocks Christians in his classroom. Or maybe it's the person who sows division in the church. Or even worse, the person who tries to unite the church, but by ignoring what we believe, as if it didn't really matter what we teach. Yes, even here in the tolerant USA, the church is under attack. And I want to be very honest with you. There is nothing that we can do to protect the church. We cannot defend the church ourselves. We are not strong enough, wise enough, persuasive enough, or lucky enough. We cannot defend it. But that does not mean that we are defenseless. Because thanks be to God, it is not up to us to defend the church. The Lord defends his church. Jesus Christ has bought the church with his own blood, washed her and made her his, and he will not let her fail. He promises us in the Gospels, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. She is the Lord's, and Jesus Christ himself will protect her to the end of days. And so, I want to enforce this more than anything else. The Lord defends his church. And there are numerous examples of how the Lord has defended his people throughout history. I can't even name them all, but I'll say a few. When Israel was in Egypt, enslaved and oppressed by Pharaoh, did God turn his back on his people and ignore them? No. He raised up Moses to lead his people out with signs and great wonders, and he destroyed the Egyptians behind them. God defended his people. Or what about when Israel was oppressed by all kinds of foreigners, by the Amalekites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, and every other kind of ites? Did God just leave Israel to fight its own battles? No. He fought for Israel. He defended everyone who had hurt his people, against everyone who had hurt his people. And now these Canaanites and Hittites are no more, but his people remain. Or what about when a wicked king and queen of Israel brought an idol, the false god Baal, into the land? Did God just turn his back and let all of his people fall into idolatry? No, he defended his people, and he preserved 7,000 faithful Israelites who would not bow down to a false god, but only worship the Lord. And now, Baal is no more, but the people of God remain. God defends his people. Or how about a New Testament example? What about when people like Saul were hunting down Christians like animals, and then the Romans tried to wipe out this religion? Did God wash his hands of the matter and look the other way? No. He turned Saul into a preacher of the faith, and he protected his people for centuries against the Romans. And now, the Roman Empire fell 1,500 years ago, but the church is still here. Or what about the Dark Ages? In the darkest of the Dark Ages, when the true gospel was clouded by the lies of popes and monks, did God forget about his people? No. Even in the Dark Ages, God still was with his people, if only because they still received holy baptism. But that wasn't enough. He also raised up faithful teachers, men like Martin Luther, who proclaimed the true gospel, that we are saved by grace. We are saved because Jesus Christ gave his life for us, and that he has declared us not guilty. God defends his people, his body, his bride, his church. And the church will never fail, because the Lord of the church will never fail. Yes, congregations may fail, synods may fail, entire nations may fail, but the church will remain because the Lord is faithful to her. Here we can take comfort in the words of the Psalms. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. These were the words, this was the promise that inspired Martin Luther to write his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And I was blessed to see God's promises at work when I was in Dresden. This little congregation survived Nazism, communism, and now even materialism. As you see, it hasn't gotten that much easier for Lutherans in Germany today. Yes, the Cold War is over, World War II is over, but now Dresden is a very atheistic city. But in spite of all that, God defends his people. That through persecution, they've only become stronger, wiser, and more utterly dependent upon God. And so I'd like to take a second to boast about my congregation, not because of what they are, but because their Lord is faithful. That they are people who are rich in love for one another. That they stand firmly on the truth of Scripture and on the words of Martin Luther that confess that same Scripture. That they are a church who's vibrant and energetic and looking for new ways to serve God and reach their community. And I know that they will succeed, not because they are so wonderful, but because the Lord is with them. And he will fight the good fight, one person at a time, to take back Dresden. And that Lord is also among us. And so, if I have one word for you today, it is encouragement. Do not fear. No matter what happens, do not fear. Even if this nation becomes worse, even if the elections go the wrong way, even if everything were to fall apart, the Lord is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He loves us, and he will never let us fail. And so, to be honest, it's a small thing for God to defend us against this world. Just think about what God has already done for us. Just think about the weight of sin that God has already removed from us. Think about how he's already given his own life and risen again so that we might be his. If he can accomplish such a mighty salvation, then it is easy for him to overcome this dying world and its puny tyrants. So let us stand defiantly against everything that this world has to throw at us. Let us stand defiantly behind our Lord, that he will defend us to the end, that the God of Jacob is our fortress too. With might of ours cannot be won, soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there is none other God. He holds the field forever. Amen. Und die Friede Gottes, welcher höher ist als alle Vernunft, bewahre eure Herzen und Sinne in Christus Jesus. Amen.